Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And again, I'd ask everybody just to after we read and pray, that you be still and pay attention this morning especially. I don't think you'll have a hard time paying attention, but I do want you to pay attention and not be in and out unless it's an emergency. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 24. And again, let's read this passage responsively. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Let's finish on verse 24 together. Ready? Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Keep your Bible open. I'm going to read one other verse to you. I'm going to read verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he hath rejoiced. He that hath rejoiced shall descend into it. And let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that even though the harshness of the truth and maybe even the presentation, people would understand the love that's behind it today. I pray that you'd help us. Our country, our world is in dire straits. Our world is evil, corrupt, and headed towards hell faster than we've ever seen it. I pray that you just help us today in a special way, in Jesus' name, amen. Brother June, it might be wise for us to push that shut. Miss Ellen, if you'll pop that door open, I'll get a little extra airflow if I do this, and then we'll, there are people in the building, and they might not be happy with what I say today. Not that it bothers me, but I got to live with those folks for a few more months, amen. We live in a sissified generation when it comes to preaching these days. The old-timers that are in heaven would now laugh at what people call preaching today. I think of Brother Roloff and Brother Hiles and B.R. Lakin. I think of J. Frank Norris, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon. I think of John Rice. I think of Curtis Hudson. Think of other great men of God throughout history who knew what it meant to preach. Now look at me. Who knew what it meant to preach, and today they would look at what people call preaching and laugh their stinking heads off and say, that's not preaching, that's pussyfooting. Some suave dude with his turtleneck shirt sitting on a chair with his earpiece microphone like Garth Brooks behind a lectern exegeting the scriptures. Can I tell you something? Those old timers would laugh and vomit at that.
Yes, sir.
That's not preaching.
Amen.
Back when I was a kid, we called those people liberals.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Everybody doing all right? Now, hang on, I'm going somewhere. These auditoriums now that look like a movie house, it's dark out where everybody sits, and it's light up on the platform, and you'll think you're walking into either a movie theater or a funeral home. That's not how churches used to be built, just so you know. We have politically correct and gender-neutral Burger King preachers. Have it your way.
Right.
Let's figure out what the people want. Let's give them what they want. That's not what preaching's all about.
Right.
Preaching's supposed to be military chow. You walk by the line and we flop it on your plate whether you want it or not.
That's right.
That's how God said do it.
Yes, sir.
He said, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet.
Amen.
Well, trumpets aren't real quiet, just so you know. I played one for many decades. The average church today knows little about preaching. We're prone to think that educating the mind and discipleship of the believer is more important than preaching of the Word of God. Can I tell you something? I don't care how many people you draw into your building. If you're not preaching the Word of God, what good is it?
Yes, sir.
Just because you can get up and educate somebody, just because you can get up and teach real pretty things that aren't even in the Bible that make you sound smart or make you sound spiritual, doesn't mean God's happy with it.
Amen.
Now, listen very carefully. Look this way. The preaching of the Word of God is the most important thing. I'm going to say something. Some of you might squirm at this, but it's okay. The average pulpit today has more lace behind it than a lady's underwear.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Say why? Because half of them are women.
Ouch.
And the other 25% of them are probably not sure what they are.
Yeah.
Hold on tight. Our generation is such a wimpy generation that we think the word hell is a cuss word. Hell is not a curse word. Hell is a real place where real people go and burn forever and forever and forever. Hell is God's super torture chamber for sin. Now, may I say this? It's the place that was made for the devil and the angels that followed the devil in rebellion and disobedience in heaven. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created, according to the book of Matthew, for the devil and his angels. And for man to go there, God didn't make man to go there. Man chose to go there by doing the very same sin that the devil had done. You don't hear much preaching on hell these days. Everybody wants to talk about heaven. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, aren't we just so blessed? Everybody wants to talk about there is a place of judgment. But they never mention it. And it's no wonder young people today think the word hell is a cuss word. Hell is not a cuss word. It is a real place, just like heaven is a real place. And let me just pull up and park right here. Why is it that when people use God's name in vain, they don't say Allah in a cuss word? They'll say God in a cuss word. You get up and say Allah in the cuss word that follows it, and watch out how many people want to string you up. Everybody doing all right? Now, listen to me very carefully here. Hell is the sum total judgment on sin. It is the place where people will pay an eternity for sin, and they'll be paying the ultimate penalty for it. You would call it a life sentence here on earth. But in hell, there is no end, so it's an eternal death sentence. Now, the world says that Christians don't know how to live life.
Wrong.
Can I tell you something? That's coming from people that are dying and going to hell and going to die forever. And we don't know how to live life? That's coming from people that only have a body and a soul. Their spirit is dead, but to the saved, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. They're only living 2/3 of life. We get to live the whole thing. Not only that, when we die, we go to eternal life, not eternal death. You're going to let the people of the world tell you you're missing out? Folks, I don't have to worry about missing out on death. I've seen enough people die. I've told one of our dear ladies today, I'm looking for the rapture.
Amen.
For more than one reason, but may I say this, I don't want to die. I don't mind dying. I just don't want to hurt if I got to do it. Now, wait a minute here. Why is it that the world says, well, you got to experience life. You got to live life to its fullest. Can I tell you something? Going out and drinking alcohol till you want to vomit your guts out is not living life.
Right.
It's not Budweiser. It's Bud Dumber. That stuff makes you stupid. Now, they're the ones telling you that you're missing out. How could somebody dying and going to hell that will be involved in eternal death and they live for death now, how could they tell me I'm missing out on anything? I'm going to make a statement I used to hear Brother Hiles make. I didn't quite understand it to the level I understand it now. But if I die and find out there's no heaven and no hell, I'm still better off than the people that live like animals down here. I've enjoyed what I've had more. Now, just so you know, I read the last chapter. God's right, man's wrong. I don't have to worry about that. But may I say this, God told us in the Bible that these days were coming. We read in Isaiah chapter 5 a place where it says that people will call evil good and good evil. It says that woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty in strong drink. Now, look at me for a moment here. God said there's coming a day when that will be the norm for the world.
We're there.
We're there. This is exactly where our world is today. Amen. To the lost person bound for hell today, you better get saved or you're going to burn in hell.
Right.
Well, that's not real nice, preacher. Well, neither's hell. To those of you that are saved, can I tell you something? This sermon ought to encourage you because we're going to blow this popsicle stand soon. We're getting out of here. And the worst thing to happen to us is we got to stay here a while.
Yes, sir.
Because everything from here is up.
Amen.
You know, the worst day for a Christian still better than the best day for the lost?
Yes, sir.
Lost person only has this world to look forward to. That's the worst that we have to look forward to. Everything's up in heaven for us. Now, God gives us six woes in this passage. That word woe is a very unique word in the Bible. It literally means stop and pay attention. If you've ever ridden a horse and you want it to stop, what do you say?
Whoa.
In other words, stop and pay attention. It literally is the word woe or ho, meaning you better stop. Ho there. Stop. Pay attention. God says, when God says woe, you better stop and pay attention to what he's talking about. You go through the book of Revelation, you'll find seven woes there. You better find out what those woes are because he wants you to slow down enough to understand what it is. Now, thank God we're in heaven during that time. It'll happen here on earth during the tribulation. Woe is what you say when somebody goes through the intersection at the wrong time and you're about to hit them and you say, whoa, 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 and they can't hear a word you say. Y'all know what I'm saying? God gives us six woes in this passage. And it is a picture of where our world is today. And I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on tight. Number one. Woe to those that call evil good. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. We live in an evil world. The wickedness, the filth, the vileness, and the evil of this world is beyond anything I thought we would ever see in my lifetime. I wish you young people knew America 50 to 100 years ago. My grandparents didn't used to lock their door. They could leave town for a week and say, hey, we're going to be gone. Y'all check on the house for us. Now, matter of fact, a lot of houses didn't even have locks with keys. They may have had a lock, but if it ever got locked, they had to bust the door down to get in because nobody had a key. You didn't need it. You used to have roadside stands with people's vegetables or their wares, and they put it out on the side of the road, and it said, here, put your money in and take what you want. Here's what the prices are, and people could. Not only did they pay, but people didn't come by and rob you blind from what was in the pay jar. You don't understand that in America today. You're doing good if you can be out there with the stand and not get robbed today. In today's world, being a Christian seems to be a bad thing. Have you ever noticed that if you live right, if you're a Christian, if you believe in the Bible, nowadays you seem to be the bad guy? Oh, you're just so narrow-minded. You Christians. You need to get back to reality.
You need to come to the 21st century. Well, why don't you get out of hell and go to heaven? It doesn't bother me when the world says that I'm not up with the times. Up with the times means down towards hell. We live in such an evil world. If you go knocking on doors telling people about Jesus, they want to call the cops on you. You can't solicit. By the way, that is not solicitation. You can go to any door, any place in America, even if it says no soliciting, and knock on their door. You're not selling anything. Solicitation requires funds transferred. Just so you know. I've been stopped by hundreds of police officers in my days out. I mean hundreds. I've been in this area and stopped by many of them. Pastor came out. Somebody said, somebody's soliciting. No, sir. Baptist preacher, Grace Baptist Church, handed him a gospel tract. Says, all we're doing is going and inviting folks to church. I said, I'm not soliciting. He said, I know I don't need to ask you, but you're not taking money, are you? Said, wouldn't take it if they offered it. They can come drop it in the plate at church, but or send it to the church, but I'm not taking it at the door. They said, it's all they need, no, but I did have to investigate. I'll write it on the report. Have a good day. Keep knocking.
Yes, sir.
That's how it goes. Okay? There's nothing that can be done. Now, I don't stand there and argue with somebody over it. I'm not going to stand there and somebody's got their nose twisted, stand there and argue with them. I just leave them a gospel tract and say, have a nice day. Like to have you come to church. See you later. I was knocking on doors one day. I think my wife was with me. A couple years ago, these people said, are you that hard up that you got to come here and knock on doors? I said, yep, need you. I said, are you so hard up that you won't go to church? That didn't go over real well. You know, evil is a plan to hurt or attack someone. Evil is worse than sin. Now look at me. Evil is worse than just sin. Sin means you've crossed a line. You've broken a law. You've violated for yourself. Evil means Bob and I become evil when we say, that Joe Heaney, we got to do something to stop him. Bob, you and I are going to get Roy and get Brian together, and we're going to go stop him. Now, that's evil. When you start lying about somebody... Joe, I could do it before I get up for breakfast in the morning. You'd be laying in bed, trust me. Now, wait a minute. I say that to say this. When you go into an alliance with somebody to hurt somebody's character, to lie about them, or to expose some negative in their life, because you think everybody ought to know how bad they really are, you're evil. You're evil. That is evil. I'm going to make some statements here. I want you to take it personally. Gossip is evil. Running your gums about somebody else is evil. And it takes two to gossip. It takes somebody to say it. It takes another person to listen to it. If you turn your ear off and tell them to take their vomit somewhere else, they won't tell you anymore. But it also takes somebody to spread it. Well, I did it as a prayer. You know, Baptists have gotten creative. Well, pray for so-and-so. They're going through this right now. He left his wife and beat his children. And you pray for them. Now, that's evil. Nobody needs to know that. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. One reason we don't have Wednesday night prayer meeting, everybody raised their hand to give prayer requests, because half the time it's depressing, the other half the time it turns evil. Who wants to go to church and find out everybody in the world sick or dying or got AIDS or whatever? I mean, good night. There's enough depression in the world. Why do you want to go to church and find out everybody's in worse shape than you are? I just don't do it that way. I believe in Wednesday night Bible study. If you got something that needs prayed for, you let me know. And if I feel like everybody in the church needs it, great. But I'm not leading the service off with it. That's a good way to ruin the whole church service. Now, listen to me very carefully. Gossip is evil. the news media is evil. When you report allegation as truth, that's evil. Be careful watching the news. They'll tell you, oh, this person's been accused of sexual assault. This person's been accused of doing this. This person's been... 90% of the time, those people are found innocent, but you never find that part out. They report it as though it happened. You can't live above allegation, but you can live above reproach. People are going to say what people are going to say, whether it's true or not. And they may really think it's true because they heard somebody that 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 said it was. We have a news media that's evil. Find one positive thing on a 30-minute news program. If you can, it's probably by accident. There's no such thing as positive news much anymore. Everybody doing okay? Hollywood is evil. Let me ask you a question. Where's all these Hollywood stars that said they were leaving the country and going to Canada when Trump became president? They're still making money off of Christian people going to watch their filthy stuff. Hollywood is evil as the devil. It has demoralized, desensitized our generation. Young people, listen to me. Back 50 years ago, as long as I've been alive, if a husband and wife were shown on television in the bedroom, they had twin beds and weren't even in the same bed. Now you have people hopping in the hay, rolling in the sack all over the place in full nudity, and it's okay, it's acceptable. Everybody doing all right? Do your homework. I'm not lying to you. Even if they were married to each other in real life, it had to be portrayed in twin beds. Hollywood is evil. I'm going to stop there. That's a whole sermon in itself. Bad doctrine is evil. Bad doctrine is evil. If somebody stands up and says, you have to repent of all your sins and confess all your sins before you're saved or you didn't really get saved, that's wicked as the devil.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's work salvation.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't believe you ought to get saved and live like an animal, but may I say this, you're not the judge, God is.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? If somebody gets up and says, well, we all have the same God, it's just different names. Whether you call him Jehovah or Allah or you call him Mohammed, no, it's God and God alone.
Yes, yes, sir.
Bad doctrine is evil. And by the way, just because it's on Christian radio doesn't mean it's Christian. Chucky Swindoll and James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family. Go to Denver and look at James Dobson's corporation, $17 million or $70 million complex there, and three-fourths of it was funded by the Catholics. He got his psychology degree from the secular universities, and we suck his stuff down like he's a Christian psychologist. It's wicked as the devil. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Bad doctrine is evil. And by the way, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on the TV, or whether it's Christian entertainment. There's some of these places that call themselves Christian putting on these plays, and the doctrine is bad doctrine. Be careful. Somebody say amen. This is my favorite one. You ready? I hit this about once every 4 to 6 weeks just because. What the world calls church discipline is evil. Church discipline is evil. Let's see here. Malachi, come on up here. I'm not going to pick on you. All right? You can pick your own nose. That's a good young man right here. But you know what? He's not done growing, hopefully this way. But he's still got some years left at home. Did you know Malachi may do something stupid someday? Probably did it this morning. Okay?
But that doesn't mean if Malachi goes out and messes up a little bit that I'm supposed to bring him in the church and tell you all what he did that was wrong. That's called evil.
Amen.
Say, what are you going to do? Make sure he comes to church, sits right there, and listens to the preaching, get himself right with God, and see how much we can help him.
Yes,
say, well, aren't you going to tell everybody? What good's it going to do for you to know?
That's right.
To tell somebody else because you like gossip? God put his sin under the blood. God doesn't see it. God doesn't want to know about it. Why do you want to know about it? That's not church discipline. Thank you. I love that. Say, well, what if he went out and got a girl pregnant? Then he went out and got a girl pregnant. He'll marry her, make it honest, made a mistake, and we'll fix it up, and we'll patch him up, and they all three can become soul winners.
Amen.
Say, are you for what he did? No, but I'm for restoring him, and you keeping your mouth shut about it.
That's right.
Well, you're just covering up people's sin. That's what the blood of Jesus does.
Amen.
I hear some of these preachers, well, there are some sins you need to expose to the whole people. Who made them pope?
Right.
Find me one place in the Bible where it says there are certain sins that are supposed to be told to the whole church.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
It's not in there, just so you know. I've read the whole thing many, many, many times.
Amen.
I've already been through it 1.5 times this year. It's not in there.
Praise
the Lord. The wrong Bibles are evil. The NIV is evil. The New King James is evil. The RSV is evil. The Amplified Version is evil. The Reader's Digest Condensed Version is evil. Good News for Modern Monkeys or Men or whatever is evil. The New Schofield is evil. New Schofield Bible has the Bible actually changed, not just in the notes, but actual scripture. I don't care if you have the NIV or the HIV Bible, the gender neutral Bible is evil. They have Bibles out there for a gender neutral God. They have the Sodomite Bible, comes in a rainbow color, literally. They talk about filthy things in it that aren't godly. God gave us to the English-speaking people the King James 1611 Authorized Version. That's all you need.
Yes.
Promise you. Do you know what the only Bible not allowed in communist countries is? That one. The Catholic Bible is a wrong Bible.
That's right.
It's a corrupt Bible. It's not a Bible. It's not the Word of God. Now, the immorality and sodomy of our day is evil. And it's a shame I have to use this term. Sodomy is the word homosexual. It is a biblical term. I choose to use it on purpose because it's what God said. The sodomy of our day is vile, filthy, and wicked.
Yes, sir.
Shacking up is still shacking up. Living together, still living together, and it's wrong. Sleeping around like a bunch of barnyard animals and alley cats is still wrong. I believe two people ought to come to the altar pure.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? You say, preacher, you're old-fashioned. You live in a day where evil is called good and good is called evil.
Yes, sir.
So God says, woe to those who call evil good. I've got to hurry. God also says, woe to those who call darkness light and light darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers as the manner of some is, and what concourse hath light with darkness, and Christ with Belial? God said, quit calling things that are dark, light, and light, dark. Everybody hold on. Somebody say amen. I love you. Science fiction of our day is darkness, not light. The superheroes of Hollywood are evil and dark, not good. Harry Potter is bad, not good. Demonism all over our airways, whether it be television, on the movie screen, on the video games, demonism is wrong and it's bad and it's darkness.
Some of us allow children and even adults to play with things that are vile, evil, darkness, and we call it entertainment. The cartoons of today are dark, not light.
Bugs Bunny is now rated PG because of the violence. They had to take Tom and Jerry off because it's cruelty to animals. No lie. Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner is not allowed to be shown because it's PG-13 and it's violence.
Meep, meep.
Now, wait a minute. They call those bad. Have you ever seen some of the new Power Rangers? Let me ask you a question. Where do they get their power? It's demonism. Everybody doing all right?
I'm talking about the original Speed Racer, you know, Racer X and Trixie. And the little car that you knew wasn't real, but the wheels didn't even turn, but it went around the track or down the road. Black and white, praise God. Now, those were real cartoons. Baby Huey, amen? The Wally or Harvey Toons, that's what they were. I was a cartoon aficionado. I always loved Tom and Jerry because the cat got beat up. Amen? That's why I learned to hate cats. We call light darkness and darkness light. You can go to jail for 7 years for putting your dog down with a gun, but you can murder babies legally. That's called turning darkness to light and light to darkness. Anybody doing all right? Education is supposed to be enlightening, but we're driving people to darkness with our education. Tens of thousands of people marched yesterday in protest to science for global warming. And they're marching for a lie. There is no such thing. It's not science. We've already proven it's not science. That's like marching for evolution as science. It's still a theory that is a wrong theory. And they say we're uneducated. That's calling light darkness and darkness light. Most video games are evil, killing, violent, bad music, and bad dress. When my kids were growing up, I didn't allow them to have video games where they were killing people. They have combat ones and you're shooting people. Do you want to know, the police will tell you this, the most dangerous people in the world with a gun is a kid that's been addicted to video games. They're more accurate with a weapon than a trained soldier. They're so used to killing people that they're hardened to it. And yet we suck it down hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. It's just fun. It's just entertaining. It's not real. It's calling darkness light and light darkness. Bible preaching is portrayed as evil against the world, and the world is portrayed as light. What I'm doing today, if I did it on national television, we would be in the national headline news for a long time, and I would be some kook locked up in jail. You say, why? Because it calls it as God calls it. Well, you need to be more accepting to people. No, people need to get saved and get out of their sin.
Yes, sir, that's right.
I am not for going out and violating anybody because of what they are. I am for going against sin and evil.
Yes, sir.
It is right to preach against sin and love the sinner. Not a human being on the face of the earth I wouldn't witness to. I'd even witness to Hillary. I doubt she'd listen, but I'd hope she would. I wouldn't even want Hillary to die and go to hell. Now, I do want her next to Joe in heaven.
Thanks.
Wait a minute. No, it's her punishment, not yours. Mike saw that one coming. He was ducking back there. Oh, can I tell you something? I'm for witnessing to anybody. I'm against sodomy, but I'm for winning the sodomites to Christ.
Yes.
I won't quit preaching against sodomy being sin, but I will be for winning them to Christ. The only hope they have to coming out of it is getting saved.
Right.
Well, you sound like you're in the Dark Ages, in the Stone Ages. Thank you very much. You need to come up to modern terms. I've seen what this new world is. Don't want nothing to do with it. Man, you go to the store and the thing behind the cash register, it's half man, half woman. It's got 14 colors of hair. Yeah. Looks like it got caught in a fight with a pop rivet gun and lost. You wonder how they could get things stuck in those places, in their tongue, in their nose, in their lip, everywhere else. Lord have mercy. And they look at me and say, I'm weird? They think I'm weird? They think I'm weird because I think a lady ought to dress like a lady and a man ought to dress like a man and be separate, and you ought to be able to look at somebody and say, that's a lady, that's a man.
Yes, sir.
And they think I'm weird? Do you ever see one of those things that's got it all right down the middle like this, you know? Looks like Spartacus with no helmet. Man, I walked in and it was all shaved on like this, and it was just spiked up about that wide all down the middle like a porcupine. And it, you know, had golf paint all over it. It looked, I swear it got hit by a shotgun 3 times because there's so much metal stuck in it. Had a chain from the eyelashes down to the cheek and into the nose. And I just looked at it. He said, it said, I'm not sure if it was a he or not. It said, what are you looking at? I said, I haven't figured it out yet. He said, well, what you staring for? I said, because I'm not sure what it is. He said, man, this is in. I said, I'm glad I'm out. He looked at me and said, well, who do you think you are? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel. He said, oh, you're weird. I couldn't help it. He said, preacher, what'd you do? I went, you call me weird? I said, did you look in a mirror today before you left?
Yeah,
oh, wait a minute. They look at me and say, I'm weird? Woe unto them. Number 3, woe to those that call bitterness sweet and sweet bitterness. Here's what the world's philosophy is. Vengeance is sweet. I'll get back at them. That's called making bitterness sweet and sweetness bitterness.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Oh, my soul. Spring break. Sweet. No, bitter. The lifestyles of today, you hear the term, sweet. Usually that means bad. Welfare and economic unity is not sweet. It's bitter for everybody. Do you ever see a communist country with money? They all go bankrupt. They all have to have capitalism to keep their communism afloat.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Because communism takes the desire for people to work away from them. Can I tell you why so many people are protesting against President Trump? Because they don't want to work. They want the government to give them everything.
That's right. Yeah.
Woe to those that call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. By the way, well, I'll get to that in a moment. Woe to those that are only wise in their own eyes. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, woe unto them, verse 21, that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight.
Say, what is that? That's politicians. Oh, the people aren't smart enough to know that we need national health care. That's what Nancy Pelosi said about 7 years ago. The American people don't even know what's good for them. We're going to vote it in whether they think it's right or not. That's called being a politician. Everybody doing all right?
Global warming science is being wise in thine own eyes. There's no such thing as global warming science that actually are real. There is no science to global warming.
That's right.
I saw something on the news this week. I wanted to fall out of my chair, Brother Fred. I was laughing so hard. They were showing in Antarctica. Oh, the ice shelf is melting. Look. And they showed this giant glacier with the water pouring out of it. and how that it's melted so far and the water is just pouring. I said, they just came out of summer. They're going into fall right now. They're going into winter right now. Have you ever seen things around here in the summer? There's no snow. Have you noticed? Same is true down there. Their poles are, the southern half of the world is on an opposite seasonal schedule as we are. When we're in winter, they're in summer. When we're in summer, they're in winter. How come they don't do that about July or August? Educators are only wise in their own eyes. I love you. Listen to me very carefully. The public school system, the moment you send your children to the public school system, whether it be kindergarten or pre-K, all the way through college level, the educators will tell you, you forfeit your right as a parent. We become more intelligent than the parent. Just so you know. That's why Michelle Obama can pass things through law, and they can go through your child's lunch if they pack it, you pack it to school, and they can take what you had and throw it away and say it's not healthy enough, make you pay for money and food that they offer. I hate to tell you something, but the government has no authority to tell me what to shove down my pie hole. If I want to eat black jelly beans, I'll eat them. Amen? If I want to eat salad, I'll eat salad. If I want to eat pizza, I'll eat pizza. And it's none of the government's job what I eat. By the way, if you want to drink pop or soda, whatever you call it, I don't care how big it is, the government has no business telling you how much you can or can't drink. It may not be wise for you to do it, but the government's not supposed to be God. Wise in thine own eyes and prudent in thine own mind. Can I tell you something? Too many Christians are living life the same way. Well, as I see it, preacher, this is what I want to do. Young people, listen to me. How about what God wants you to do with your life? Instead of just packing up and doing whatever you want to do, how about finding out what God wants you to do? I'm not saying people shouldn't pack up and leave from time to time. God knows it happens. But may I say this? Just because you want to doesn't mean it's God's will. And there's been many a day I want to pack up and leave. Say why? You carry what I carry, you'll want to leave every once in a while. Huh. Woe to those that are wise in their own eyes. Number five, I got to hurry. Woe to those that are involved in alcohol. Boy, you don't ever hear anything preached about people drinking booze anymore. Alcohol is of the devil. Period. End of discussion. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do you know what is not wise means? Fool.
That's right.
Hang on there. Booze in America flows like a river. $1 out of every $100 spent in the economy of America is on alcohol. Over $100 billion a year in America are spent on alcohol. The average adult, including everybody that doesn't drink, the average adult has 11 alcoholic drinks a week. The high end of the scale has 74 a week. That's almost 11 a day. Now, listen to me very carefully. That's not calculating in all the car accidents, the death. That's not calculating in all the broken marriages, the abused wives, the abused children, the abused husbands. It doesn't bring into it the money wasted and the delinquency at work and the lack of production in America because people are stinking drunk while they go to work. And Mrs. Lopez was telling me just last year they went on a thing for the school and some of the parents came. One of the parents came to chaperone children drunk and they had to send her home in a cab. That's wicked as hell. That's wicked as hell. Think of all the houses and cars and different things that have been foreclosed on because people are too drunk to show up to work, to give too much of their money to it, and then they can't pay their bills. And by the way, let me just go ahead and say this good and loud. It's not supposed to be part of the church either. There's a resurrection of an old movement. It's a little bit new to this generation, saying, well, in 1 Timothy it says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and you're supposed to drink alcohol. It's healthy. There's a church within 3 miles of where I stand where they say that, and that it's okay to drink casually for your health. If they do a little study, they find out that word wine there is the word juice, not intoxicating beverage. The acidic level or the alkali level of the water over there was so bad that they would have to put a little juice with the water so that the water was able to be drank in those days. That's why it said put a little wine in for thy stomach's sake. It wasn't alcohol. I don't care what the American Medical Association or ADA or whatever they call themselves. I don't care what they say. An alcoholic drink of red wine every day is healthy for your heart. That's a lie out of hell. Did you ever notice how coffee's bad for you? And then 5 years later, coffee's good for you? And then 5 years later, it's bad for you again? And then 5 years later, they found out that there's a new enzyme in it, and it's very good for you again? All these scientists that are trying to control the economy. Everybody doing all right?
Man, I'm having fun.
Alcohol still wrong. I don't care if it's a wine cooler. I don't care if it's, what do they call it, adult tea or adult lemonade. I don't care if they call it Bud Wiser, Bud Dumber. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Number 6, I'm done. Bible says, woe to those that justify the wicked for reward. Now, please listen to me. I'd have a hard time being a defense lawyer for the state, trying to take criminals and show how innocent they are. How that they're a product of society and they went out on a murder spree because society didn't treat them right. That is woe to our generation. And let me just pull up and park here and show you the stupidity of our country. When a lady goes to McDonald's and buys a cup of coffee and it spills on her lap and she burns herself and she gets $7 million in a lawsuit because there wasn't a warning that it was hot coffee. And you wonder why every coffee cup now has a warning on it, caution, hot coffee. Did you ever look at a Kleenex box? On the bottom of the box, they give you instructions how to use a Kleenex. Because they've had lawsuits against people that didn't use them right, and they said there wasn't enough instruction on the box. So, number one, you lift the tab. Number two, you take it out. Number three, you put it to your nose and you blow. Number four, you throw it away. They actually have instructions on a Kleenex box. Well, if you don't know where to put the boogie, just give it to a little kid. He'll eat it. Now, wait a minute. We have such silly lawsuits in America. I was going back to Bible college one time. I stopped in Bucyrus, Ohio at McDonald's. I got up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, drove for an hour and a half. I was getting tired. I had an old 4-speed 1981 Escort. Amen? I stopped at McDonald's and picked up a cup of coffee, put that puppy in the seat there with me, went to take off at the traffic light, and some lady ran a light. And I had to hit the brakes and hit the clutch. Guess where the coffee went? That's in a day before cell phones. That's in a day where you put your car in. And man, I slammed that thing, turned it off, jumped out of my car because, man, I was burning up. Do you know how uncomfortable it is to drive in clothes that are soaked in coffee for the next 5 hours? But I promise you one thing. I didn't fall asleep. I was woke up for the rest of the trip. My dad still laughs about that. Want to keep yourself awake? Just spill a cup of coffee. It'll keep you awake when you're driving. Trust me. Now, wait a minute. I didn't go to McDonald's and sue them. Everybody doing all right?
No justice, no peace. Hands up, don't shoot. That's called woe to those that justify the wicked for reward.
The press making accusations of guilt and have not proven innocence. Instead, our Constitution says innocent till proven guilty. Today, you're guilty till you prove yourself innocent. Let me just go ahead and say this. A judge ruling against the president because how people will feel about a law that's already on the books is wrong and wicked.
Yes, sir.
Ninth Court of Appeals ruled that because the people of San Francisco and San Jose have what they call pre-enactment anxiety. The people will feel bad because of enforcing the law, so we are going to go against the president. By the way, he was not trying to enact a new law. He was reversing what Obama had done to go back to the rule of law. It's not making a new law. It's enforcing the law on the books. The judge ruled there's nothing illegal that he's doing, but he called it pre-enactment anxiety. Pre, meaning before, enactment, before it goes in place, anxiety. Because we fear what could happen, we won't let it go through because of how people might react to it. And we've got judges going against presidential rule over that. That is wicked. And the press won't tell you the truth. Now, I said all that. Those six woes. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. Woe to those that call darkness light and light darkness. Woe to those that call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Woe to those who only are wise in their own eyes. Woe to those involved in alcohol. And woe to those that justify the wicked for reward. Say, what happens? According to Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 14, Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 24, the Bible says hell has gotten larger because of it. People are dying and going to hell over this. People don't want to hear the gospel anymore. But may I say it, they don't want to hear it because nobody's taking it to them. We as Christians have the responsibility to go out and tell lost people how to miss hell. This is the best they have. Brother Stoltz, it's our job to go out there and keep them from a worse hell.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm not in this for play. Everybody doing all right?
That's right. Come on.
I can think of a whole lot of things in life that I could enjoy more than some of the things I do in life. If I were looking at it for myself. Shoot, I'd have married my wife, gone on the backside of the Rockies in a log cabin, and nobody would have ever found us. I could live that way. I don't want to go to Alaska and do it. Too cold, amen? Put me somewhere where it's warm. I'll figure something to kill.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. Can I tell you why hell had to enlarge itself? Because God didn't make hell for man. God made hell for the devil and his angels. And it's our job to start living right, quit living like the world, go out there and tell other people about him so that heaven can enlarge, not hell. It is our job. Some of you used to go soul winning, but you don't do it anymore. Some of you have never done it. Time to start. Say why? Because Jesus is coming back real soon. We don't have much time. Well, it's their fault. No, it's our fault because we haven't gone door to door and gotten everybody we can get yet. We all need to keep people from going to hell. That's what God wants us to do about all these woes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Who of you has a family member that will die and go to hell because they're involved in this philosophy? How many of you know somebody close that believes like what I just told you, and they'll die and go to hell because nobody's told them the truth? Maybe we're caught up into what the world says we should do. We got to have the newest car. We got to have the newest gadget. Got to have the biggest house. Got to have the fanciest clothes. No, we need to try to keep people out of hell and keep hell from enlarging itself. I'd say, preacher, somewhere wrapped up inside that truth is something I needed this morning. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. I ask you to do something. We don't often do it because of our situation here, but if you raised your hand, I want you to come as far forward on the altar call and kneel at this altar. Let's get a hold of God and see if we can reach some people in our area.